This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by MMAHQ.com, the world's best MMA daily deal site. Boxing Box, learn the fight on instinct. And Oprah, the world's favorite mouth guard.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 62.
62!
My name's Ingo Weigold.
And I'm Matt Griffith, and this is the MMA show where we help keep the teat canal open for easier milking.
Nice. How does that, we do? The teat canal?
Something like that. Oh, and we're an MMA show by MMA fans, for MMA fans, where we walk the line between serious and ridiculous.
We do.
I'm going to enjoy a nice, tasty beverage here.
A nice coffee mug you have.
Fucking swat.
Are you drinking coffee out of there?
Yeah.
Yes, he's drinking coffee.
Always.
Always coffee. Yeah, and it's 4th of July weekend. Yeah,
it is.
Tomorrow's 4th of July.
He goes going bananas, blowing shit up at his house. It's totally legal in Illinois.
It is legal. No comment.
And I'm totally not giving him a box of said stuff to blow up tomorrow.
Supplements, fireworks, something. So happy 4th of July to you guys. It's, well, by the time the show comes out, this will probably happen already. I think it'll be out on Tuesday, but
it's all good.
I'm good. I think I just broke my thumbnail off. Ouch.
Fuck.
Happy 4th to you and yours. Enjoy your day off. We're coming off the UFC 132 weekend. Are we coming off hot?
We are coming off hot. I felt it.
Yes.
I felt it hot.
Yeah.
It was the best card of the year.
Actually, I'll be the first to say I was really negative about this whole card, and I was dead wrong about this card.
So I mean, you got to be agnostic on that shit.
Everything got finished except for like
a
the
handful,
main event.
Right.
Yeah.
The Seaver Wyman too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
But entertaining fights nonetheless.
It was very entertaining. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about
Pink elephant in the room.
I was about to say something like that. As you notice, we have a Brock Lesnar death clutch book.
What is the death clutch? Is that like when you grab your crank too hard and
the death
go
clutch?
On for broke?
What do you mean?
Oh,
no.
Is that the death clutch? I don't know. No. He said in there what it was for.
Yeah, I forgot.
I can't quite remember.
See, now that would have been good to know, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
That would have been great to know.
Hence, we would
like to discuss this book for a brief moment, because I feel that as a person who reads quite a bit, I think it's actually surprisingly entertaining, and it almost feels like I'm listening to Brock sitting in front of me talking.
True that.
Reading this book. It's written in a way that's just easy to digest. He talks about everything from his time in college to his time in wrestling to his time in football and then his transition to MMA and whatever else. And
yeah, vodka and Vicodins.
Right. Who would have known? Like, I would have never guessed
this
guy was like a big party animal, but he was. He was talking about like flying all over the world and drinking and taking painkillers and getting sucked into the Vince McMahon machine that is the WWE and this guy basically treats these guys like pieces of meat, right?
Pretty much. You're on the road, 300 and some odd days a year?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. Like, you go from town to town
to hotel. Can't tell one city from another. Like, where the fuck am I this time?
Yeah, and, you know, the predominant thing in the book, I think, that strikes me is he's a guy who wants his. He keeps bringing this up.
Yeah, he needs his piece, man.
He wants his money. He wants to get paid, and he feels like he deserves it. And I mean, can you fault him for that? I mean,
oh, there's nothing wrong with wanting your piece.
That's right. He thinks he's
a
man.
Piece.
So I have a few quotes I just want to read.
Yeah.
One of the really good ones I thought that was actually hold on a second. Let me bring this up. A really good quote. He talks about his time like learning before he got into the UFC, and he said. You know, one of my coaches used to tell me that 80% of the things we spend our time worrying about and having nightmares about, they never actually happen. We spend so much of our lives racking our brains about things that will never materialize. It's such a waste of valuable time, but I'll be the first to admit I didn't understand this until I got into the UFC. And he's making a reference to the fact that, like, he used to He signed his life away in that contract with the WWE, and he was fighting that for a long time. They fucked him over big time. Like,
well, when he tried to get out, yeah, they said that.
Yeah, they basically said he could not do anything anywhere.
It was like a non-compete on anything.
Nothing. I mean, the guy couldn't have had, like, he couldn't have done anything. Any other sport, really.
He couldn't even make donuts that had WWE on them, for fuck's sake.
And he said, back when I had to travel all the way to Japan just to earn a living, the sword was still at my throat, and it was tough to have a positive outlook on anything. Which is where that tattoo comes from.
Is that the death clutch then?
Yeah, basically. That's about all for the quote. That major quote. That was kind of anticlimactic, wasn't it?
I was holding for something. Holding,
nothing great there. He talks some comments he makes about guys, like, you know, he's very personal, and he doesn't want invasion in his private life. And he says that if you're a plumber and you're out to dinner with your family, would you like it if the waiter walked up and said, "Hey, the toilet just backed up. Can you come back and fix it?" It's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, though, you know, you are an entertainer, so I mean, I guess. But he feels like his entertainment time is on the
page. It's on his time.
Yes.
Not on.
On yours.
Yes.
Some other good quotes from the book. While I looked that up, do you have any? Give us a takeaway from the book. Anything you that struck you?
Well, I just thought it was interesting to hear just his take, because it's like you're saying, like, a guy's talking to you, and I believe he swore a few times in there. And again, I'll go back to a lot of time him talking about his ass getting chapped. A lot of ass chapping. I was like, huh, that's interesting. But, you know, it sounds like he's a pretty decent guy. Like, you get to see who he really is in there. So. And what a big influence his parents were in his life, too.
Big time. They pushed him very hard.
Yes.
He also talks about, let's see. Silence is not good. You know, he talks.
It's all good. He talks about juggle something,
like,
over here.
Well, no, but like his wife Rena, I guess he flew in to see her, and he, like, broke into her house, and he was talking. I mean, it's kind of weird for him to be so open about it. Like, sitting there, he called her from her own house and was like, "Hey, I'm not leaving. We're gonna work this out. Mm-hmm. I want to get married," and all this bullshit. He bought a ring. Like, he really just comes across as a normal guy.
Yes.
Which is weird for a guy that's as high profile as he is. Like, he's just a family guy, and he talks about his family life and how he really loves his kids, and he wants to spend more time with them. And, you know, that's just kind of like how his whole thing is. And he talks about his illness in there, the UFC fight with Frank Mir, which is an interesting story, because Comprito mentioned this to us, like, where he was pacing around the ring after the fight, and Mir happened to stand up at the wrong time, and he thought Mir was getting in his face, and he just wanted to give him another piece of his mind.
Yeah, like, "Fuck you, get out of my face, I can smash you," blah, blah, blah.
He doesn't believe in touching gloves. He says there's a lot of rules and regulations in the UFC, but touching gloves is not one of them. No state athletic commission mandates that fighters must touch gloves before they fight. So in my mind, I'm not obligated to touch gloves or have a lick of respect for my opponent.
Liquor?
Lick.
What?
A lick.
Oh.
So either before or after the fight. This is not a bunch of neighborhood kids all playing around on a bright sunny day. This is a sport. At its very core, it's a fight. So basically, Brock doesn't like to... Has he ever touched gloves? I don't know.
I don't think so.
He hasn't, has he?
No. I'm going to say no.
He talks about retiring Heath Herring, which...
Okay.
You know, I don't know where the animosity comes from there, but and then it's a lot of stuff about the WWE and you know, talking about Shane Carwin and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he goes through everything, through his entire time, even the loss to Cain Velasquez, which I think still bothers him and is one that he really wants back.
Yeah, you don't want to go out like that.
No, you don't. For sure. Not for a guy as proud as this guy is. So I urge everyone to check out the book. It's pretty exciting.
It's a good read. It's a short read. You can knock it out in a couple hours.
Yeah. If you got a Kindle or whatever, even easier, you can just go to Amazon and download it. Real simple. Or if you would like, if you're a fan of the show and you just want to like us on Facebook,
yeah,
we actually have a few copies of Brock Lesnar Death Clutch to give out. So,
hand signed by the man himself?
No, I wish. Well, maybe we'll get one.
Not yet.
We'll see. If I can get one, then that will be a, you know, that will be a special prize. But we have a few copies to give out. I'm sure a lot of people have not read this book. So what do they need to do in order to...
Well, They need to fan us up on Facebook. We're at like 600. I think at every 100 level for the next 400 levels.
We'll give one away.
Yeah, 700, book. 800, book. 900, book. 1,000, blowjob.
Whoa.
Oh, no, wait. Hey, no, I'm not giving a blowjob, but someone's getting some.
So
it's all good.
Yeah, check it out, Brock Lesnar, Death Clutch, or just like our Facebook page.
That's right.
Facebook.com/MMA Nuts. And you can also enjoy the book. So I highly recommend it. It's a good read. It's, you know what? I read the Chuck Liddell book,
yeah.
Iceman. I liked it
as
much.
The Iceman Cometh?
Yeah, I liked it as much as that. Not the Tito book or the BJ Penn book, which was so-so. This was better. So hats off to him. And with that,
yes,
let's talk a little UFC 132.
Should we?
We can try.
Go slide. I think we're going to go out of order, but that's okay. Because the fights were out of order.
They were, which was weird. The Dennis Seaver, Matt Wyman fight got moved up for some odd reason. Why did it?
It was weird.
So,
because I thought I was going to be first.
That's what I thought, too. But we ended up seeing, what did we see first? Condit?
Yeah, I think Condit was first, and then Ortiz and Bader, and then Seaver, Wyman.
Maybe something happened behind the scenes, who knows?
A little shenanigans, if you will.
I don't know. But before we talk about the main card, what about...
Oh, yeah, you want to mention.
Melvin Guillard knocking out Shane Roller.
Yeah.
Making a case for himself. Humble in victory.
Yeah. At the post-fight press conference, it was interesting to see because he was actually pretty funny and very humble. Talking about how he's not partying anymore. He's hanging out with his wife and going to movies now. And then basically saying he'll fight Dennis Seaver, who is, you know, he's sitting here, Lieben's sitting here, Seaver's sitting here, and he's like basically starting to talk shit like, I knocked you out, I'll knock you out again.
He might.
Like,
this was a long time ago.
Let's throw it down.
Things have changed.
Melvin said he really wants to fight on that Houston card.
Yeah.
So, because he said he wants to fight in front of his mom, and he said, I want to get the title. I don't care. He's like, if my mom had the title, I'd fight her for the title.
Whoa.
He wants it. He's hungry. He doesn't give a shit.
But he didn't say that in the ring, though. That's the one thing, or the
What's
octagon.
That?
I wanted him to come out, you know, like he was very like, I'll do whatever, or whatever. Mm-hmm. How come he didn't, when they asked him, why didn't he say, I want the title, Joe. I want to fight. I want to fight the guy at
the
top.
Well, he says he's a finisher also, not like Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard.
Yeah. So that lightweight division is a big mess.
We need the Grand Prix of lightweights, please, something.
Well,
there's too much.
I think Dana doesn't like tournaments. Someone asked him, one of the female reporters asked him prior to the event about that, and he didn't seem like he was all.
Wasn't keen to that.
I don't know why. He says he doesn't like tournaments. He's like, it's not necessary. So,
sure it is. When you just folded like the fucking WEC, you know.
I don't know, but Melvin's making a case for himself, and then our buddy George Sotiropoulos. Unfortunately, Ooh. Took a bad, was it a hook?
He did a hook.
From Rafael Dos Anjos, got knocked out. That's too bad. So, I'm a big fan of
his. Yeah, it's two losses now.
Yes. I don't think he's going anywhere, but...
No.
I don't know if the Dennis Seaver fight, like, put a little bit of, doubt in his mind regarding his game.
Taint or a stain?
Yeah, like, his ground game is so good. I don't understand why he keeps trying to box with guys. Like,
well, his boxing, he wasn't protecting his face. In this fight, he threw a couple punches and just left his hands, down, you know, by his waist and then hook right to the chin.
Got jacked.
And that was it.
Yep. Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. I don't know what's up with him as far as a next fight, but... He's in the wrong division to be losing fights.
Yeah. 55 is tough.
There's too many guys. So.
With his awkward body type again.
Right.
Looks weird.
Like a concentration camp guy.
Oh, he's weird, man. He's the muscles weird. In the weirdest places.
Maybe he'll move up in weight class. I don't know.
Maybe. Something.
170?
He was pretty little, though, when we met him.
Yeah, he was, but, you know, it's hard to gauge, you know, these guys.
It's true. So, you can never gauge from TV. Everyone looks ginormous, and you meet him in person, you're like hey, how's it going?
So, yeah, he looked like a small dude. And then should we talk about the main card? Do you want to talk about this first, or do you want to talk about...
No, let's talk about... Well, we can go with the fight of the night. So, fight of the night, all the bonuses. Fight of the night was Cruz Faber. Sub of the night, Tito Ortiz. And then KO of the night is Carlos Condit. $75,000 a piece, so.
Nice.
kudos to all those guys.
You can buy a nice house in Detroit with that money.
You could probably buy three houses in Detroit for 84. That money and have like hookers and blow to spend, you know?
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. I'm from Detroit. Don't give me shit.
He is. He took me there. You don't want to go there. Stay away.
Housing's cheap. The taxes cost more than the houses, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's not surprising. All right. So this fight, Dennis Seaver, yep. Matt Wyman. I thought Wyman got hosed on the call on this one. And it sure seemed like the crowd thought the same thing. And yeah. I know you said you rewatched it and you thought differently.
I'm a big Seaver fan. You know, I think my view is skewed. I feel like the first and second round, no question that they split those mm-hmm. two. You know, Wyman kicked the shit out of Seaver in the second round. He cut him
He mauled him with elbows from the guard, ground and pound, and cut him up twice.
And Seaver won the stand-up in the first.
Mm-hmm.
The third round is up for question. I know you mentioned what you said Wyman had a takedown.
I want to say he had one or two takedowns in the third round. He also had a guillotine attempt.
Yeah.
So he had a sub attempt. And I think he landed three hard shots to Seaver's one hard shot.
Yeah, I think Seaver was more active in the third. Wyman slowed down quite a bit. And maybe that's why the judges gave it to him.
That's what I'm wondering. It's like this. The activity is. It's the Leonard Garcia judging style where you see the guys throwing punches and bunches. Oh, he's more active. He must be winning a fight.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, you're probably right. Last night, I thought Seaver lost. Mm-hmm. And I watched it again, and I feel like he might have won. But it's likely that he kind of eked out. He got very lucky. He probably should have lost that fight.
Yeah.
It should have been 29-28, Wyman. But, you know, it is what it is.
And
all three judges gave that score, right?
I believe
so.
So it was unanimous.
Everybody saw the same thing, I guess. It's got to be the volume, but I think...
just go out and throw a bunch of fucking punches. You're going to win.
You're going to win?
Either that or just lean against the cage and hold someone there, and you're going to win for control.
Yeah, and surprisingly, Wyman didn't want to strike with him, which was weird.
Yeah, he's going to fare better on the ground, but decided, I'm going to stick him.
So what do you think is next for Mr. Seaver? Do you like that challenge between him and Guillard?
I'd take that one. I'm up for that.
You like that one?
Yes.
I'll go for that. I think that would be cool. I mean, there's a couple other guys I might like to see him fight. I want to see him fight someone that's active, not a wrestler, someone that even like a Dos Anjos or Charles Oliveira. Or Melvin Guillard. He needs
someone high up.
Yeah.
Because he just beat Satoropoulos, and this was one of those fights where, like, why is he fighting Wyman? But, you know, it's like, ooh.
So the winner, if he fights Guillard, the winner should get a title shot, for sure.
You would think.
Maybe.
But then you still have Jim Miller in the mix, right?
Yeah. Actually, they were talking Jim Miller possibly for Guillard, too. I was listening. That would be an option, too. I don't know. There's too many. It's
fucking
just too quick.
Tournament and let's be done with these guys.
Yeah, they could do it, but it's not going to happen.
No.
Nope.
Only wishful thinking.
And moving on to the next fight, which I know you were...
I just doubled.
One. That's all right. We'll talk Condit Dongyeong Kim. I know you're very excited about this. You're a big Condit fan.
I am. He's a finisher. He's a natural-born finisher.
Yes.
He's finished, I think it is 26 of 27 people now. And... wow, fucking hell. You know, he is outstriking him. And it was pretty early, right, in the first round?
Yeah.
He decides to throw the flying knee. He jumps up, boom, boom. And Kim just happens to be ducking down into it.
Yeah.
Fucking rolls back.
Hit him any harder.
Boom, 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 boom. Out.
Yeah.
So that's why I fucking like Condit, man. He is a finisher.
He has been. It's something like whatever happened in that... set between the second and third round in that, was it Rory McDonald fight?
Yeah. We're between the second and third where
whatever
Greg Jackson
happened,
was yelling
after
at
that
him.
Point, he's been a different fighter since then. It's like something clicked. He's been crazy. So it was pretty exciting. It was unexpected. I figured this fight will last a lot longer than it did.
I'm just glad that the stun gun wasn't able to impose his will. And
he tried and kind of got right up. I mean, I think he got him down for a good, like, maybe 5 seconds and kind of got right back up and got it standing again. And he did say in the post-fight interview with Joe Rogan that he wanted a title shot. He was asking, he's like, when am I going to get my title shot? So you think he's going to get one?
Well, the thing is, he's probably going to have to take a fight beforehand, because I think GSP and Nick Diaz isn't happening for what, another 4 months or so? It's out there a while.
Yeah, it's in the fall.
So I don't think he's going to be able to fight in 2011 for a title, so he'll probably have to take another
GSP wins.
Another fight. Twice a year. Yeah, and then, then he'll have to fight in 2012.
Diaz would take a fight.
He would do it.
Whatever, let's do it. If he wins, he would take the fight right away. I like that. I mean, it doesn't make sense to give him anyone else.
Unless you're going to throw like the other people out there. BJ Penn still needs a fight.
Versus Condit.
And John Fitch still. But it sounds like they want to make the rematch between those two, but I don't want to see that fight. We already saw it once. Fuck it, it's a draw. Both those guys need to move on, so.
Yeah.
But he needs to fight top tier 170.
And then, I don't want to. Fitch might. That Fitch is not a good idea for him.
I'd like to see that. If he just killed the stun gun, why can't he kill Fitch?
It's a different game.
It is a little bit different.
You know,
he ain't gonna. Oh, I don't know. He might. He's a finisher.
Fitch is not gonna try to strike with him. Stun gun was pretty tentative, I think, first like minute or so. Mm-hmm. Fitch is just gonna come right out and take him right down.
He gets submitted then.
That's kind of, yeah, maybe.
We'll
see what happens. That's an interesting fight either way.
It is.
I still want to see Fitch get finished. Could be the guy to do it.
He could be.
Could be.
GSP was not.
Nope.
But is that shocking? so much.
Not lately, no.
Not so much. So, moving right along, the monitor is so excited, it just went right ahead to this fight.
So,
is it an MMA Nuts curse? Can I just call it that?
It is the curse of the eight ball or something. It's what do we call it?
The trifecta curse of the nuts.
If we all three agree on the pick, it's guaranteed, bet against it, you will win.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years almost. Running.
It's like ET extra testicle when you have all three of us fucking vote done
with the curse of what the heck's on Bader.
Yeah, so we called that too. We said if you're gonna make a bet on Tito Ortiz because he's gonna find a way to win,
and he did.
And he fucking sure as shit did. And who in their right mind is gonna pick Tito Ortiz to win this fight when a guy hasn't won since 2006? Mm-hmm. And the last person he beat was Ken Shamrock.
Yep.
So, all credit to him, man. I mean, he stepped up. He knew his back was against the wall. And if he lost, he's going to get cut.
Dana White said he would right before.
And he dropped Bader. And then as he's dropped, he locks up a guillotine, pulls guard. He squeezes it. Okay, it's time to stop. He taps, squeezing it. Squeeze it a little long. He's a little amped up. But
it's all good. Yeah, it's exciting. And then he did his little post-fight, what is it,
Gravedigger.
Crazy victory dance.
Yeah, he said in the post-fight press conference that he threw that one out there because I guess he was helping train people during this episode of the Ultimate Fighter show.
Oh, the one for the fall? They're taping right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they were asking him to do the Gravedigger, and he said, I'm not going to do it now, but when I win my fight, I will do it for you.
So there you go.
It was awesome. I was actually fired up. It was good to see. Like, I don't care if he loses or wins, but when I see him win like that, when I see someone get finished, and he fought smart because he had him rocked, and he dropped down and submitted him.
Yep.
And a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys, like, look at Pat Barry when he had Congo rocked. He just went down and kept punching him. He got back up, punch, and then boop, oops. Oops.
Ouch.
Happens.
It does.
Still like the guy, but you got to appreciate. Sometimes you got to drop down for that sub when you got them rocked.
Yeah, you do. Congrats to Tito again. I was talking a lot of shit. I said the guy's washed up, and I don't know why anyone's fighting this guy, but apparently I've yet to be proven correct on this. This is probably my worst card ever, my picks.
It's all right.
We didn't talk scores. I actually didn't prepare
them. That's okay. We can just.
They're horrible.
We'll just forget about it until the
next show.
We'll be like 100, whatever, and
I did
it'll all work out.
For sure. But. I will say this.
Yeah.
Given the fact that Tito just won, I feel that there's an upcoming fight that makes sense for him to take the winner.
Are you going to bring Chuck Liddell out of retirement?
No.
I thought you were going to bring him out.
Chuck was there, actually, in the crowd. He looked not pleased.
Yeah.
So.
He probably doesn't want to see Tito do
well. No, especially now that he's retired, but.
I mean, and you got to look at, too, because Bader, that's a pretty big win for him, you know.
Mm-hmm. The guy who just fought the champ at the lightweight division.
Yeah. And that was another point Tito made in the post-fight press conference saying, I finished him in the first round. Took John Jones 2 rounds to finish him.
Good point. MMA math doesn't work.
It doesn't. But and the other weird thing was, I would say like 60% of the questions at that post-fight press conference were all directed to Tito. So he's still interesting,
like
you said,
like to say.
He is polarizing.
I like him versus the winner of Franklin versus Nogueira, which is coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of that. I think those guys, all three of them, are in the same like circle of older, known
guys.
He's
got a better shot.
Where it would make a good fight. You don't want to see him fight someone like a Machida again.
I would like to see that. I don't
Machida?
Care.
Tito Ortiz?
Yeah.
Right now?
Sure. I mean, it's more dangerous for Machida because he's one loss away, but maybe he fights well with his back against the wall.
Machida?
Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it. I mean, this is the first time he's lost a couple.
Well, he beat Couture just recently, so if a loss would get him out of the UFC, you think?
Maybe. Unless he's going to pull some more ninja shit.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dana puts a backdoor, like, bonus.
Uh-oh, he said backdoor.
Whoever finishes Tito gets $100,000
well,
or something ridiculous.
I guess
like
that's
that.
The thing is, like, who is going to give Tito the toughest challenge right now?
I like Franklin. I think Franklin...
The winner of that fight.
Yeah, I like Rich Franklin if he wins. Not as much of a fan of Nogueira if he wins to fight Tito, but I like Franklin. And that's a fight we never saw before. So both guys, right? He's not.
Is that a catchweight? Rich catchweight Franklin? Are we going at 195?
192.
Is this 185? Is this 205? What are we doing?
205. 205.
205.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it would be pretty interesting.
Yes.
I like it. So we'll see. Congratulations to him, of course.
Yeah.
Unexpected. I know everyone's on our YouTube going, fuck you guys. Well,
yeah,
where were
fuck you pick
2 weeks ago when everyone was picking against them? So.
Seriously. This is the fight that I picked him, I think, the last two fights to win.
You did.
And I finally just said, I got to fucking give up on
this.
I
got to
give up on it.
So, oh, no. Not this one.
So, speaking of potential retirement to another person's potential retirement.
Yes.
We got Wanderlei Silva with Chris Leben, man. What happened here?
Well, from what I saw, I think Wanderlei thought he had Leben stunned and he was going to go in for the kill, and he was wrong.
Not so much.
I think,
you know, just pushed his on switch.
Yeah, I think Leben, when he's rocked, is way more dangerous than when he's not. And, you know, they clinched up, and I'm surprised that Silva couldn't get loose from that, but as soon as they clinched, Leben was like, uppercut, 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 uppercut.
Yeah.
And he just landed, like, what, 3 or 4? And
yeah, and then he went face down, ass up, and then he followed that up with some more.
So it was tough to watch, and it was over quick.
This is like, what, 20, 30 seconds into the first round quick. And I was wanting a war. I wanted three rounds of fucking rock 'em, sock 'em, but...
He went back to like, when he fought Rampage. He didn't do the thing he did when he fought Bisbing.
Yeah, he game planned when he fought Bisbing.
Yeah, and you mentioned that before it started. You're like, oh, I hope he's not going to come out game planning. And I'm like, well, I kind of hope he does. Cause,
yeah, that's a tough
otherwise
thing.
You get this. This is you know.
It just seems the chin is not withstanding. Or he shouldn't have rocked Leben that hard that fast. Because even the post-fight press conference, he said he hit my on switch.
Yeah.
And I was just on autopilot. I don't even know what the fuck happened. Because he just goes into that fucking zombie mode. He's like...
Starts going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I know a lot of people are disappointed, but one thing you got to say, he's just like a Chuck Liddell. I mean, he went out on his shield.
You got to go down swinging. And I appreciate that style. At least you went down swinging. You got your shots
in.
I'd rather see you lose in dramatic fashion than lose a fucking shitty decision. So, Dana White said he was going to try to Chuck Liddell him into retirement.
Oh, so get some kind of a front office job?
Yeah, cushy front office job, sure.
What could he be, like the ambassador for Brazil or something?
The titty rubber extraordinaire?
Yes, could be. Jiu-jitsu.
Watch, I make them disappear.
Make the titties disappear? There you go.
Or go back to those. It's all good.
The row of titties?
Yeah, it's awesome.
One day. But yeah, I mean, who do you like next for Chris Leben? That weight division is a little bit wacky at this point.
Yeah, it's tough. Maybe Munoz. He just beat Maya. I mean...
Munoz or Chael Sonnen or Damian Maia, even.
He's got to fight. He's got to get up there. He's got to start getting some title shot contenders. So he needs to fight some top 10 dudes.
Nunes wouldn't be bad, but that's a wrestler that. I don't know.
I kind of want to see that because Munoz might clock him with that one shot to turn his switch on.
Yeah.
And then just Hulk smash.
What do you do with a guy that when he's rocked, he's more dangerous? It's like.
Don't rock him.
How do you.
You gotta pitter patter him. You gotta kind of Nick Diaz the guy. Like,
get him bored.
You gotta box him.
Yeah.
Move around.
Point
get him tired. And then maybe take him down and submit him.
Because Stan was able to take him down with pure power.
Yeah, but he, I think that was more of two things. He overlooked him, and then he had that gummy bear freak out before the fight.
Yeah.
Where he was shitting and diarrhea in himself and all that good stuff.
Said he ate a bunch of candy right after the weigh-in.
Yeah.
So, I know people say, well, it's an excuse, but, I mean, if you haven't eaten sugar in 3 months, yeah, and then you eat a bag of candy.
And you're diabetic, or he may be diabetic. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's all good.
But, yeah, it'll be cool to see what they're going to do with him. I've always been a big fan, both guys. Silva doesn't need to retire, but he doesn't need to be fighting guys like this anymore, you know. So,
and that's the crazy thing. It's like he's not that old. When I say he was old before, it's because he's been in so many fights and so many wars. Like, you just can't take that kind of fucking punishment day in and day out.
It's ridiculous.
You know? Especially the way those guys used to train too.
Was you get knock each other out and
brutal.
Train.
Yes.
Sure. So, is that the co-main event? Is that what that was?
That's what that was.
All right, so let's get to...
What's that?
The sponsors, maybe? Is there
I'm holding.
You're holding?
There always is. Okay. Sponsors.
We have MMAHQ.com, the world's best MMA daily deal site. Following the latest fighters, trends, and brands, they strive to consistently offer you the best deals around. One item per day until it's sold or until 12 Eastern when a new deal begins. As I spit all over my iPad.
That's awesome.
MMA HQ.
You're so gay with your iPad. I'll get it out there before someone else can.
If you really want, hey, you don't need a laptop. iPad's the way to go.
Is it?
I like it, yeah.
Hey, you don't need a phone. You need an iPhone. That's the way to go.
So.
Now I'm double gay. Thanks.
But Apple's not sponsoring.
And if you're gay, it's okay.
So fuck them. I had to pay money for this.
They'll never sponsor anybody. They're a bunch of cheap fucks.
Yeah.
Bastards. $340 stock price, cocksucker.
Is it that high now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't remind me. Boxing Box by New Phase.
Sorry.
It's the only interactive fighting product
Boxing
that will challenge
Box.
Your fighting instincts and reflexes. You can go to fightinginstincts.com, and for $59.95, this can be yours. We have put this in our gym.
Yeah, you're telling me the story today.
People are loving this shit. They're going crazy over this.
Waiting line.
They're lining up to use this Boxing Box. The boxing coach is all excited about it. It's a good product. I think if you know how to, especially if you have someone that's training you to hit the bag, I think it can help out a lot.
And then you have a friend come by and sucker punch you while you're using it.
Boom,
fucker.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
Yes.
And then of course, last but not least, we have OPRO.
OPRO.
The largest mouth guard manufacturer in the world. They provide custom fitting mouth guards to schools, colleges, clubs, and individuals. They're worn by club players and international stars of rugby, football, hockey, lacrosse, and numerous other contact sports. From
horse racing
all around the world. Opro.com.
Yeah.
We rock their mouth guard.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
It is good shit. It's the best.
That's all I got to say.
That's all he's got to say.
Sponsors are done. Design. Put a fork in it. Cheers. On to the main
right,
event.
Right. Clink your fucking silver bullet.
No sound effects?
Nah. I'm all off on my clicks, too. It's been a long day.
There we go. Cruise favor.
We're blowing shit up. Over at Ingo's house earlier.
Smoke bombs.
He was dialing up all the legal fireworks with smoke bombs.
I have only the legal stuff at my house.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
I'm not cool.
And then
my son is so little, he doesn't like explosions.
Yeah, he was a little freaked out. It's all right. I gave you some good shit that's just going to be quiet.
Is that what's in the box up there?
Yeah.
I'm scared.
It'll be quiet. I gave you, like, spinner stuff. Spinners? Nothing that should explode. Yeah. But you had Children of the Corn kids over there, by the way. It was fucking freaking me out. I pull up, we're walking up, there's just, like, two kids just fucking eyeballing us. I'm like, it's not polite to stare.
They wanted to play, but we never stopped them, but their parents are fucking psychos.
Well, one was pretty entertained by the side mirror on the car. Yeah. Just literally staring into it for, like, fucking hours.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're freaking me out.
Their parents are psychos. Their kids are turning into psychos.
I feel bad for them.
It's all good.
We like all the kids, but their parents are
crazy. It's all good.
Anyways.
All right.
Let's talk about the main event.
Yeah.
Before let's we talk fall asleep. About this. I mean, I'm back.
Yeah. It's all good.
Dominic Cruz. Uriah Faber. The California kid. This is the one fight I was right about.
What's that?
The entire card. I said it was going to be a five-rounder.
Five-round
Cruz
war.
Cruz and his crazy ass all over the placeness.
I'm just going to jump ship and say, I thought it was a draw.
We got it was a draw.
That draw or maybe Cruz by a round. I could argue either way on those.
Not 50-45,
but there's
though.
No fucking way it was a 50-45. Fuck that.
Yeah. Insanity. I think Cruz was pretty active. Faber looked like he got lulled to sleep at some point.
Yeah, it's like it was crazy because when he was moving forward and kind of like pinning Cruz against the cage, that's when he was having the most success.
In the first couple of rounds.
And then he just kind of got away from that and was trying to use like his hands down at his waist and trying to use head movement, but he wasn't fast enough.
No.
And it was like he was getting hypnotized by the movement.
Stop doing that. You're not
fast
enough.
Put your fucking hands up. Yeah. Move, stick him, go forward. You gotta go forward on this guy.
Even that jab and that straight right, just all day. Cruz would come in with this wacky, just throwing one punch, just knocking his head back.
Mm-hmm.
And Faber was moving backwards the entire like third, fourth, fifth round.
Yeah,
he just stopped moving forward. I think that's what killed
him. Because I had Faber with the first round, Cruz with the second, draw for the third. I think Faber possibly for the fourth. And then Cruz for the fifth.
Yeah.
And you could argue
the draw I had Cruz as in Cruz's favor. So yeah. I thought that was how the fight was should have been scored. But you know, it's just like, geez, man. This guy is so crazy. Like Cruz, how can you even prepare for him?
I don't know. Wacky. I heard about that about 10 times during the telecast. How do you prepare for a guy like this?
You don't.
You fucking bum rush him. You got to get in there. You got to slap him. There were no slaps.
You know, for a guy like that, has he ever knocked anyone out? No, right? Cruz?
I would just say this. For, like, how many decisions has he been in of late? Pretty much all of late.
Yeah, it's like a track meet with him, pretty much.
Yeah, so it's like, it's punches and bunches and...
So what do you got to employ, like just the Sherman Tank approach, like a Rick Story style?
Yes, exactly.
Press him against
like
the cage
that.
And just grind him down, put him on his back.
You can't sit out there and just kind of let him take the fight to you. You've got to take the fight to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw flashes, like that first round.
Faber did well.
He was on it.
When he bum-rushed him, he was doing okay.
And then the second round, he kind of stopped that, and then Cruz just figured out the timing and was like, I got you
I
now.
Wonder if Faber was saving his energy because he figured he wasn't going to be able to finish the guy.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to wear himself out trying to grind him down. I don't know.
You got to figure, it's going to be a five-round fight. You don't want to blow it all out in the first two, and then you're fucking
but then he never got
second
back
win
to
by
it.
Three. No.
He just kind of kept doing what he was doing. So the talk on the web is that they want rematch. So rubber match, I should say.
Yeah. So we each got one.
Yeah.
Now let's see.
See what they're going to do. But I don't think the story changes at all. I think there's more interesting fights to make at that weight class versus, I don't know. What do you think?
Because it's speed kills again. Like that's where it seems Faber has a issue is when a guy's got a pretty.
More speed?
Yeah. Decided speed advantage.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're probably going to see a rematch. I think that's what the story is.
There is. Who else is getting thrown around? Like Bowles and...
Yeah, Bowles.
Or Mighty Mouse.
Benavidez, right?
No. He just fought him. There's another dude.
Sorry.
Mighty Mouse.
The
name escapes me. The nickname only sticks.
Mighty Mouse? Jorgensen?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Horrible. You know what we're talking about.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Take that.
Yes.
I can't pull it up on anything. I'm free-balling tonight.
You're free-balling?
Feel off it.
You have nothing? Oh, you don't have your laptop.
I don't need it.
Fucking iPad. Forget it. You know
it's
what we're talking about. I can't think of his name. Yes, that would be good, too. I'm not a big fan of just seeing the same shit all the time. That's kind of like...
Exactly. And the UFC seems to be keen on it. They love the fucking rubber match when you get...
Yeah.
Oh, you got one. I got one. Let's get.
It's not a draw. I don't want to see it again. It's like
right.
Why show me the same thing? What's it gonna matter? You know.
Exactly.
I
mean,
I guess example could be made of Machida Shogun. That second fight didn't turn out so much similar to the first. But
I mean, well, he got fucked on that decision. I mean,
yeah,
that was one of those that should have happened.
Like, it's like the 6th round knockout, basically what happened. But time will tell.
Time will
and
tell.
And, of course, given that, the fact that I just mentioned that I really wasn't cold on this card, and I think this is one of the better cards they put on for the year so far.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm probably ranking this a solid 9 out of 10 right there.
Yeah, lots of finishes. Even the undercard was pretty good. We got to see one of the quickest cards. I remember sitting here going like...
Yeah, it was like 10 o'clock or something, yeah. And the fucking card's over.
It's over. And they were showing us, like, Facebook fights
yeah.
on the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
It was over quick. I think that's kind of surprising. So we'll get into some viewer mail, shall we?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Well, there's only a couple questions. From our Facebook page, Raja Sandal, or Sandal, excuse me.
I don't know. Sorry. Is it Tarjay?
Fuck if I know.
Like a target.
Tomorrow. He wants to know, do you think retirement is the right decision for Wanderlei Silva? And where do you think this win puts Tito in the 205-pound division? Top 10 again or no?
No. Should Wanderlei Silva retire? First question. I think it's up to him. I think he's still got some fights left in him. But, you know, this one was one that...
Seems like he took it hard, right?
He just
stormed out of the
Yeah, cage. But he did that one for the fans. The fans wanted to see him just rock him a sock him. It just, the chin didn't hold up. So I can't fault him for that. If he would have game planned it, it would have been a shitty fight. I just would have liked to seen it go a little longer. So should he retire? No. Is Tito Ortiz top 10? No. He's not top 10. He hasn't won since 2006. How could he be top 10? Yes, he beat Ryan Bader, and, you know, it's pretty impressive. I'm not going to lie. But I think he still needs some more fights to be considered top 10. When you're a step away from death and you're at 36 years of age, top 10 you are not right now.
Okay. Great. Do you think that Guillard could challenge for the lightweight belt anytime soon? Or is he going to have to fight someone else?
Well, he could, but I think they still have to do Maynard, Edgar, whenever the fuck that is. I have
still
no
mention
idea.
Of that. No.
No.
Still, they're both injured.
Right.
Still.
These phantom injuries or whatever. He sure looks like he's ready to challenge for it, but I think he's going to fight some other people, and like we're talking either like a Jim Miller or Dennis Seaver. I kind of want to see him fight Dennis Seaver again so we can get that.
Yeah, because I think Miller, the thing that is the question mark for Guillard for me is what happens when someone puts him on his back.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't had that in a while.
Yes.
I think he's still going to be like a fish out of water, and Miller would, that's a guy who would probably do that. Grind him up against the cage, put
maybe
him down.
It depends if he can get him down, because
Guillard's
takedown defense has gotten a lot better lately.
He's very fast. Speed kills, like you said. He's very fast. Yep. So, last question.
Yeah.
We kind of touched on this earlier. Do you really think that a lightweight Grand Prix would be a good idea to figure out the mess? This is from Tuckcake Poikinen on Facebook. Do you think there's any chance they're going to do this?
You can never say never with Dana. If enough fans want to see something, he's smart enough to realize, hey, I should fucking do this. And that solves a lot of questions, or at least takes care of some issues and just says, fuck it, Grand Prix. Here's your guys. There's 16 dudes. And
throw them together?
Yeah. Strip the champions of their belts and fucking
make
Grand Prix it out.
6 months.
Last man standing wins. $500,000 purse to the winner.
Oh, big money.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, let's go for broke.
Okay.
Put some, like, fuck, you're going to fight for $500,000?
You're rocking back and forth. You're making me rock.
No, I'm all fired up, man. $500,000.
Like, okay.
Sweating balls, too. But sweating anyway, let's get knot up in this motherfucker. We got 78-2 lights in here or whatever. It's all good.
That's all I got for viewer mail. If you... Since I forgot the last two shows.
What?
If you would like to have your email read on the show.
Where can they do that at, Ingo?
You can do so at fans@MMANuts.com, or you can contact us on Facebook, which don't forget the contest.
Which one is that?
What happened to the book? You can win a free copy of Brock Lesnar's Death Clutch if you are a fan of us on Facebook. And iTunes, Twitter, Twitter, YouTube, we're all over the place.
We are.
That's right, you. And we, of course, will be back.
We will be back. When? For what?
Well, I think we'll be back next week. I think we should probably do the Fedor Dan Henderson card.
That's right.
It's coming up, which we'll find out in the next week or so.
Who's fighting on that card? Because it seems to change every fucking day. Yeah.
And if we get to go as part of the press, because the UFC are stingy motherfuckers.
Oh.
Now that they take over Strikeforce. So don't worry. No one's watching from the UFC at this point. But they are stingy. Strikeforce used to be the shit. We could get press passes. They were awesome. They were real friendly. When the UFC bought them out, they fired everybody.
Pretty much.
You guys. We're putting our guys in there. Now no one's getting nothing. So no press passes.
And everyone's getting blacklisted. No emails. Blue balled.
Nothing. You're just totally screwed.
But, oh, gravy. They're the best organization in the world. I don't know what he's talking about.
Strikeforce?
No, UFC.
Oh, they're awesome. But Dana just doesn't know us yet. When he knows us, he'll be like, those guys are cool.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. It's all good. He's flying us on his little plane.
His little plane.
For UFC 139 in Chicago in November.
Okay.
Whenever it is. I don't know. It ain't happening, but.
You never know, dude. they seem to be like announcing shit like 2 months away, so we still got time. Don't worry.
It's true.
Your dream could come true.
Hopefully. Yeah. I've got lots of dreams. Me that too. Is one of them.
That's one of them.
Just going to keep it at that.
Yes. Mm. No, in case my wife is watching, I'll shut my mouth.
Yeah, stop while you're ahead.
So, before we go.
Do I have any knowledge this
week? Do you?
I don't know. Do you?
Have any knowledge?
Yeah. I have some knowledge.
Do I have knowledge? I don't know.
See any good movies?
No. I've seen a lot of shitty movies. So, if you guys want to email us with some movies to recommend.
Yeah, I'd be in for some documentary type
stuff. I've been watching
stuff.
Movies, but. Documentaries is pretty much the only thing keeping my interest. What did I see? I saw that Matt Damon movie, the Adjustment Bureau. Sucks.
Didn't see that.
Horrible. There's a bunch I just got from Netflix, which hopefully I'll watch one tonight maybe. But I don't know what's up with the good movies. There's just none.
Yeah.
There's nothing going on.
Oh, I watched the Game of Thrones.
Oh, you were mentioning
on HBO.
Is it worth watching?
Yeah, it's worth watching. Forgot, there's midget in there, too.
There's a midget?
Midget and naked.
Naked
and,
midgets?
And possibly swearing. I'm like, if you got that, it takes the cake right there.
Okay.
Check it out. Swords.
Game of Thrones. Swords, yes. Game of Thrones, death, beheadings.
Dragons.
Blood.
Yes, beheadings.
There's dragons, too.
Yeah, there's, for next season.
Red dragons.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no. Spoiling the show.
Thanks. I hate that. Enjoy. It's all good.
I will, you know.
Anyways.
Yes.
Go ahead. Wrap it up like a burrito.
Or like
a chimichanga?
Yes.
Arroz con pollo. Corona, la cerveza más fina de Mexico. Corona.
Actually, chimichanga sounds damn good. I'm going to have to eat now.
I got some upstairs. take one on the road with all those illegal fireworks that I'm going to load him up with.
They make gluten-free chimichangas?
Oh, I can't eat those. But I'm just saying, I have chimichangas in my
That's
house.
That's all good. Fried goodness. That has been this week's edition of MMA Nuts. My name is still Ingo Weigold.
And I'm Matt Griffith.
Still?
Sometimes.
And he's not drinking coffee, I guarantee you that.
What?
You've given yourself away. You've got coffee in you.
Stop.
A couple of times you brought the beer out, you're like, wait.
What?
I think you forgot. There's coffee in there. It's vodka.
It's the way I roll.
Yes.
Everclear, 190 proof.
Nice.
Yes.
You light it on fire?
You ever do a fireball with that?
Fireball?
Oof.
Oh, no.
Me neither, but
no.
I lit my hand on fire a couple
with
times.
With Everclear?
No, with rubbing alcohol.
Oh, that's insane.
Those nah, you burn? Just dip it right in water.
It's all good after
Yeah, don't try that at home, by the way.
Isn't it burned so that you can't see it? Like it's a
Yeah,
it's
it burns the rubbing alcohol off first, and if you have a thing of water, you just...
But the flame is not visible, right? Or is it?
Oh, it's visible. Okay. Turn lights off and then... Maybe I should do that.
No.
I'll do it on the
not on the show.
Yeah, I think we should do that next week. I'll light my hand on fire. What the hell?
Okay. What?
I haven't done it in a while.
Pyrotechnics on MMA Nuts.
Burn all the hair off my hand again. Yeah. Well, better a hand than a cock, so.
Wow. No one wants to see you light your cock on fire.
I don't either. That's what I was saying. Better hand than
That's
a cock.
That's one way to get the hair off, though.
What's that?
To light it on fire.
That's a good point. Maybe easy. That'd be a lot easier.
Shaving kit.
Done. Yeah. Done. He was Ingo Weigold.
Yeah.
I was Matt Griffith.
You were Matt Griffith. We will see you guys next week.
That's
Adios,
right.
Amigos. Happy Fourth.
Thanks for playing.
Cheers.
Don't blow your hands off, kids. I want to see all these still on.
Should
next
we ask
week.
Them to send in videos of them blowing up shit?
You could.
If you're still watching and you blow up some shit and you got it on video, send it to us.
Big.
We'll post it next week.
Yeah. What?
I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for playing again.